What a morning it's been here in Mudgee. A joy to be here, as it always is, on Cup Day and from the Oriental Hotel. We spoke to the publican here and the mayor of the Midwestern Regional Council, Des Kennedy, earlier this morning, and we forgot about one of his great achievements in the last week as well. The Oriental here was awarded, I think it's best draft beer
in Australia.
In Australia. And that voice you just heard clarifying that was none other than local legend, the great Ken Sutcliffe. Kenny, good morning to you, mate. Great to have you on the show once again.
Lovely to be here, boys. Actually, this says a lot about you three fellows. What sort of blokes begin their working day at a pub? Do you have a drinking problem?
No, we don't have it.
We like it.
Good Aussie morning. Tradition. Don't you love that? Yeah, you Australian if you have a beer before seven.
How's life in Mudgee treating you, Kenny?
It's good. You know, we've had a lot of rain, not nearly as much as some of those affected further out west, and it did affect the track there for a while, and they've done a great job getting it to where it is today for the Mudgee Cup. And they've worked to get this thing on the road, and it'll be a brilliant day. But, you know, life is good. Still got a few mates left in Mudgee. I haven't insulted everyone yet. By the way, Laurie, I heard you had a bit of a problem with Manly. anyway, it's not all bad, you know. Yeah. I can get you a gig as assistant coach at the Mudgee Wombats. You know,
I'm right, yes.
You're right, bro.
I'm ready to come up, Ken. I'm ready to make that big move.
What's the remuneration, Kenny?
Love.
Love.
Why does everything revolve around money?
Well, I didn't mean that. I meant more, would it be beers involved or pay or a free meal at the pub?
Just a lot
There's
of
got to be something there for you.
Good social life, as if you need that. Yeah, no, it's, look, sport in the bush, you know, we're talking about rugby league now a little bit, but it's got its issues, and I don't think they've been fully addressed. I'd love to see the NRL putting more marketing expertise into the areas, showing the locals that you don't need to have big dollars and cents to put on an event each weekend or every second weekend and make it an event with music, competitions, da-da-da. What the NRL does day in, day out, but you can do it at a lesser level, but you've got to be shown how to do it, that it's not impossible, it's not daunting. And then after that, we need the, you know, more people going to the games. And I don't know how you fix the problem of remuneration for country rugby league players. Yeah. And in this case, we've got a lot of guys who work at mines and they're in shift work and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So country rugby league, while we're NRL's huge and we love watching it, out in the bush, beyond the west of the Blue Mountains, it's a battle. It really is a battle. And I don't think anybody has ever come up with the definitive answer.
No, and that's the issue as well, Kenny, isn't it? Different areas face different challenges.
Sure.
And, you know, we all want to see the great game of rugby league be successful and be like it used to be, but in challenging times, and I think we've learnt through COVID as well that you've got to be able to adapt and do things a little bit differently, perhaps, than what we've done in the past.
Well, I came back here, and what I saw was, you know, when I left here in the 60s, is pretty much the same way the game's being presented here, pretty much, but you're talking about people who volunteer, you know, and they've got their hearts in the right places. But I think the NRL's got to give them a little bit more guidance to show them that you, a bit of imagination, you can still put on a good show without breaking the bank.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're just pet things of mine that I'd love to see happen in the bush. And it's all right to drive into town with a car that says NRL, and you go to a school, which they only play, you're preaching to the converted.
Yeah.
You know, that's easy. You've got to get the people who aren't converted.
Yeah.
And you talk about soccer right now. They're on a great roll. I hope they really do capitalise on what's going on over in Doha. But having been to Germany in 2006, covering the World Cup, and then 2010 in South Africa, and 2006 in Germany, we had a star-studded team, a lot of them playing in the first division right around the world. Mm. And they were expected to do okay, and they made it in and got dudded with a poor refereeing decision against the Italians, who aren't there this year. These guys have played above everybody's expectations, and I would suspect probably a little bit above what they would have expected themselves. But I didn't see the roll on from 2006. Mm. It went for a little while. So the jury's out. The opportunity's there. We were there in 2006. 2010 was we fell off the perch in South Africa. This is a golden opportunity to make the world game in Australia go to another level.
Kenny, you were very lucky to cover the biggest sporting events in the world. And you have seen some amazing upsets in sport here in this country. If Australia were to do the impossible and defeat Argentina on the weekend and move through to the quarterfinals of a World Cup, that would have to be nearly the biggest moment, would it be? Or greatest upset in Australian
sport? Upset.
Yeah. I think I got no problems with that. Look.
Did you come to America's Cup?
Yes. See, that was huge.
Yeah.
Now, isn't it amazing? There was a sport that two people and a dog follow week in, week out. Mm. You know, except that the guys are actually out and women are out there sailing. But this event, you know why it captured everyone's imagination? Because it was this minnow nation at the bottom of the world taking on the might of America and the New York Yacht Club with more money than our national debt. And they could do anything they wanted, and they changed the rules when they wanted. Remember, they changed the rules. They came up with every reason for Australia not to win. And I think that captured our imagination. It got our chip on our shoulder. We thought, right. And I think, just remembering back to those days, that was a massive, massive upset. But this is up there. This is up there if they go and knock over Argentina. And they're getting Messi at the right time of his career.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting him at the right time of his career.
Yeah.
And if they get up in their faces, which I'm sure that's going to be their tactic, I mean, who knows? I mean, sure, they're not the favourites, and that's fair enough. But they've achieved way beyond, I think, if people are being honest, they've achieved way beyond what they thought we were going to get. As you said, I heard you guys this morning, they struggled even to get there to the Cup, the World Cup. And what they've done so far is just phenomenal. And the reaction around the country, extraordinary.
Kenny, massive day in Mudgee today. The whole town embraces the Mudgee Cup. Tell us about the colour, the characters and the day itself, particularly out there at the race course.
Well, I got a son who's on the committee. So a lot of volunteers, they get stuck into it and they work their backsides off. Because we've had the floods, and particularly around the racetrack, which did a lot of damage, they've worked against the clock. They really have. There's been some tremendous efforts by everybody, and that happens in all regional areas when you're back to the wall. But the track is in phenomenal condition, considering what has been through over the last 2 or 3 months. But there's new committee, there's new things happening out there, and I think that next year they will take it to another level. All they wanted to do was get to the line this year. Next year, Mr. Belandis, are you listening? Mr. Belandis, it's $75,000 cup. Please make it six figures next year. We want six figures. And we will be forever grateful. And I hope today that a country-trained horse and a country trainer gets up with the cup. That'd be terrific. Outsiders most welcome, but yeah. I really love to see somebody west of the Blue Mountains knock it off. Yeah.
At the moment, Cameron Smith, we were just mentioning before, having a tough day there at the Australian Open, but we were discussing, I think it was you and I, Bulldog, the other day, is he now got the mantle of our biggest international sports star probably at the moment?
I think so. Watching him, God, I was busy yesterday. I mean, I really put in. I sat down all day and watched the golf and cricket. I said to my wife, you better go to lunch, darling.
I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted.
How quintessentially Aussie is he as well?
He's quintessentially Aussie. Well, I mean, he's got the mullet. When I first saw the mullet, I thought, oh, God, just, God, that's awful. But it's grown on me, like the mullet's grown on him, literally. But I just like the way he goes about business. There's a nice quiet quality about the way he approaches the game, and he's got it in perspective. But I remember going to, and I covered, I think, 8 Masters and a couple of US Opens and so forth, and Ian Baker Finch, and you know how Finchie won the British Open and then life just was never the same for him and nerves got to him.
Yeah.
It's a torturous game. When you're getting there, when you're climbing there, and Laurie, you play. This is what I call about elite athletes, and you were one. Elite athletes do what average people can't do. That's the fact of it. Therefore, there comes a pressure with that. And what we've also got to remember, that you have your greatest triumphs in front of millions, but you also have your greatest failures in front of millions. Mm. And it's how you cope with the downside that really cements you as somebody who's got the ticker to take it to another level and come back in, Steve Smith, whatever. Mm. They come back. I have more admiration for the guys who have been to the bottom of the well. Right now, the young fellow, Cameron Smith, is going along beautifully and playing the game well. He's got all the right answers, giving the right press conferences, getting involved, doing all the right things. I hope the game is good to him mentally, that he keeps it going. Because in the end, there's so many guys out there and women who strike the ball beautifully, but in the end, it's between the ears. It's between the ears all the time.
What about cricket, Kenny, here in Australia? Like 5 years ago, if you were playing a test match, the first test match of the season, the summer, you'd expect more people at the ground than what there has been the last 2 days. What do you put that down to? The fact that we're struggling to get people to watch cricket?
I think there's a multitude of things. You can pick up the phone and watch anything you want at any one particular time. You can get the headline. All I want to see is the wicket. All I want to see is the try. I don't want to watch all that sort of stuff. We're getting an abbreviated coverage of a lot of things on the run. So I think that waters down a lot of it. As far as cricket is concerned, look, we need a strong West Indies. I ache for the days of Clive Lloyd and all that sort of thing. You're only as good in the end as the opposition that you play. And I agree with you. It was a bit of a net session. I'm not taking anything away from those guys. You can only beat what's in front of you. And that's what they've... Right, so far, they're doing fine. And I've got to say, I'm surprised the West Indies are none for right now. And good luck to them. But we need all cricket nations. We need all rugby league nations. We need rugby. We need all nations to be strong to keep that level going all the time. And I think cricket right now is at a bit of a crossroads. India is so dominant in as far as the dollars and cents and the volume. T20, there's abbreviations, Big Bash, da-da-da. The mix is just, it's like a cocktail.
Yeah.
What am I watching today?
Yeah.
Because that you get certain players playing one form of the game, another set of players. So you never build up a relationship with a lot of these players. Yeah.
Come on, Kenny, just before we go to Mido, the male model for Mudgee. Reiterate who gave it to you and why.
Billy
and
Burke.
You know what, Kenny? You haven't changed.
Go to OPSM, son, you're in trouble. There's snow on the roof, but the fire hasn't gone out, let me tell you. But Billy Birmingham did it, and you got a couple of seconds?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Anyway, Billy Birmingham rang up. He said, I want to do a da-da-da-da-da, your male model from Mudgee. And I thought, oh, yeah. And everywhere I went after that, it's reasonable, but you'd never take it seriously. But he did say, I could never get your voice on the 12th man. He said, I can't get your voice. I can get Gibbo, I can get everybody else, but I can't get your voice, which basically was a nice way of saying it's very ordinary and doesn't really stand out. So we went to the Regent Hotel down near the Rocks. He set up a little recorder, and he said, you repeat everything I say in your, and he had all these lines, and then I'll put it together in my studio down at Barrow or wherever it was at the time. And then, so we did that and did it. They put it on the record, and I can't tell you how many people have come up to me over the years. Jeez, Billy Birmingham really nailed you. He got your voice. I could have made $1 million. Now, Tab wouldn't have had a problem with me. And the NRL wouldn't have had a problem with me. But the other thing, is that the thing that I am disappointed with you three fellas being here and not taking anything away from you, your resident model, the resident catwalker, we know it was... You know what we're talking about.
Oh, yes.
Michael
Clarke. Where is he?
Where is he?
Yeah,
where is the resident fashion parade Michael Clark.
Right,
they got a fair fill in, just quietly.
It's a good fill in, quite a size.
Anyway, Ken, look at the time.
But I want to see Clarkie come up here and join the real people and do the catwalk with me. Oh. He's the male model from Bankstown, isn't he?
Bankstown, Vaucluse.
Double
Bay.
First day of the week.
Anyway, we've got to show him there's life beyond the Blue Mountains.
Great to see you, Kenny. You look fantastic.
You do, Ken.
And just that voice, the smoothness, love it. Great to speak to you. Thanks for coming on our show again.
It's good. And any agents out there, I'm looking for a quid because I'm a pensioner these days.